spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more. So you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chris and Amy now. The Dave Glover Show at 1 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
The Fed meeting today talking about interest rates, what might change, what is or isn't, and how it will affect you or how it won't. Got a lot of things to talk about with Dave Simons, who joins us every Tuesday here on KMOX. He's the partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. Dave Simons, how are you?
You know, I'm good, Chris, but let me throw out some kudos for your boy Matt there. Oh. I mean, I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but that intro music was REO Speedwagon's Easy Money.
That's right, Dave.
I mean, how perfect heading into the Fed talking about interest rates and the possibility of easy money. That guy's good.
We like to not bring it up and just move on.
I think he's good.
Yeah, he's fine.
Thanks, Dave.
So what?
You're more than welcome, Matt.
What is your expectation today with the Fed in the meeting?
Well, it's a 2-day meeting, and so they'll actually give their announcement tomorrow. But as far as tinkering with interest rates or anything like that, that is likely not going to happen. They'll leave well enough alone. So your analysts and your economists what they're really looking for is, what do they see in the next couple of quarters? Because everything that we hear with corporate earnings right now, these CEOs and CFOs go out there and they always talk about lack of clarity. We don't know what the tariffs are going to do. So we don't know how to go forward with our business in the future. And I think you very well could see and hear some confusion out of the Fed, which is that doesn't happen very often, but it should be very telling. So I think that all we're going to get tomorrow is more question marks, frankly, than anything. And I think that's why you're seeing the market just kind of pausing here. It was down a little yesterday. It's down a little today on really no news except heading into this Fed announcement tomorrow. And I'm not so sure we're going to get much guidance.
You know, Dave, this is, a question and a joke, but I don't know if you've heard about the economist and the engineer who fell down a 100-foot well, and the engineer said, we'll never get out of here. We can't do it. And the economist said, first, assume a ladder. And <Yeah. laughs>
that's exactly right.
Yes. And so I am offending people by calling it a soft science, but when you are looking at the Fed, how much are we creating our own reality by how we act to what they do?
Amy, let me tell you something. You just really hit the nail on the head more than anything else, because there are two sets of data. There's the hard data, which is what the Fed entirely rests their opinions on. They look at unemployment. They look at inflation. They look at how the economy has been going, not so much where it is going. The rest of us, though, and me in particular, I look more importantly at soft data when we're trying to arrange portfolios. And that is more of what you just talked about, mm-hmm. Amy. It's our own behavior. So look, I could point out to the sky on a beautiful spring day and say, look how beautiful it is. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's blue. The sun is out. And you might say, nah, it's about to rain any moment. It's going to rain. I know it is. I'd say, Amy, but that's not even in the forecast. Nope. I just feel it. I have experience in this. It's going to rain. Even if it doesn't, you are changing your behavior that day as if it's going to rain. You're going to maybe cancel that picnic you had in the afternoon. You're going to stay at home. You've got your umbrella ready. Well, if that's being repeated millions of times across the country, then guess what? The economy is really not behaving like it should on a sunny day. So that's analogous to what I look at with the soft data, and that is showing up in a lot of these sentiment polls where corporations are kind of laying low for now, and even consumers are also starting to lay low. The hard data is actually still pretty good. You may have seen that unemployment report that came out last Friday. It was good. And that's what the Fed looks at, and that's why I don't think they're going to be cutting rates. They still see an economy that's humming on all cylinders. I see an economy that is maybe perhaps starting to weaken because of that self-fulfilling prophecy. They see the clouds coming on the horizon.
Yeah. So is there maybe more confidence than there should be right now?
You know, I just saw a survey of professional money managers. So these are not the rest of us, the mom and pop investors. These are the men and women who really take all the seats on Wall Street. They are now the most pessimistic at any time since 1997. That was an eye-opening statistic that I saw over the weekend. Now, does that mean they're right? Absolutely not. For people who were investing back then, you may recall 98 and 99, the 2 years that followed that pessimism that was running around Wall Street, were really strong. The S&P were up more than 20%. So I actually see a positive to this. I'm a bit of a contrarian. When everyone's really giddy and everyone's excited about the economy and they're buying stock and they're mortgaging the house to add to stock positions, I get worried. But because there's just enough pessimism with mom and pop investors and with professional investors, I'm not saying the market can't decline, but I think it keeps a floor underneath this. That's why I am not overly bearish. I just think this market is going to trade within a range for a while.
Dave, how much do generations and the overall, meaning age generations, and the overall trends of how they act affect the economy and how you project the economy? And what I mean by this is my dad, right, 70 years old, how he would buy a house is very different than how my brother, who is 30, is looking to buy his first house. And my brother is younger. He's acting different. He absorbs the economy differently. As the younger generations start becoming, their financial mass grows, will economics change?
They very well could. When I got into the business, I had, as some of my first clients, people who were actually adults during the Great Depression. They weren't little kids. They were adults. They were already managing money. It's interesting, Amy. I had to treat them differently. It was a big surprise to me as a new person in the industry. How they wanted to invest was so different than when I got into the business more than 30 years ago, and people of my age and people even in their 40s and 50s. These were the, at the time, early 80s into their 90s. You couldn't show them this new company called Microsoft or Apple. That was scary stuff, man. They saw companies like that fail in the 20s and 30s. So they would buy their Laclede Gas and back then Union Electric stock, and then bonds and CDs. I had to treat them differently with everybody else. So you're exactly right. Economies and markets change based on generations. And I see that as actually a positive. People of my generation, certainly in the 60s, but also younger, have grown up with more knowledge of markets as investors. Now, some of them get a little ridiculous by putting half their money in Bitcoin. I'll put that aside. but at least at least they're somewhat engaged in a little bit and learning a little bit about it. And one more thing, we are about to see the biggest transfer of wealth in the history of the world. As the aging baby boomers now get into their 80s and they start to pass on, we will see trillions of dollars go to younger generations over the next 10 to 15 years. It'll be unlike anything that we see. This will help keep the stock market propped up because a lot of the older investors don't have as much in stock as they might have once had. But now, once that's passed on to their kids and grandkids, a lot of that money will be filtered even more back into the market. I see this as a positive long-term development.
In terms of the tariffs and the impact they're going to have, there was a hedge fund, I can't remember his name now, but he had just said that even if the president reduces those China tariffs to 50%, right now they're well over 100, that if he reduces to 50, that he believes the stock market will hit new lows. Do you agree with that?
This is the conundrum in which I find myself. I am like so many others in the profession right now. It's hard to make a prediction because we don't know what these tariffs are going to look like. And I saw the interview you're referring to. What he's really talking about is kind of what we touched on at the beginning this morning. And that is, have people already changed their behavior enough that it's already affecting supply chains? We're seeing that in real-time data. It is affecting it. Are certain purchases now that people were going to make later in the year, they're making now, which means we're going to have a softer economy in the latter half of the year? We're seeing signs that that is a possibility. So a lot of these hedge fund managers who have a great track record are really worried that no matter, even if we just go all the way back to just a 10% tariff across the board, we'll get a huge near-term spike in the market, but then that will start to wane in the lower half. I'm not as bearish as some of these guys are. I think we can survive it. We don't have to fall into a bear market, but that's a big fear among a lot of professional investment money managers who have their ear to the ground, and they don't think that we can avoid a slowing economy because of what's happening today with all the uncertainty of tariffs.
Dave, do you have any thoughts on Warren Buffett, who decided to retire at the young age of 94?
Oh, a legend, a legend. Well, let me give you a very personal and painful story here. Oh. So when I was much younger in the business, I decided I was going to buy one share of Berkshire Hathaway, like my investing idol. That was one of the greatest decisions I have ever made. Do you know what the worst decision is I've ever made?
That you didn't buy more of it.
That I sold it.
Oh.
That one share, because they've never split their stock, last week hit
$800,000. Oh, no. I don't like store. This makes me feel sick to my stomach. This is like the Bitcoin guy that bought the burrito or the pizza.
Guy who lost his password?
No,
bought it with a, I know you're talking about, but there was another guy
who lost
his password. And there's no like, hey, calling customer service, I've lost my password. And he had, I forgot how many millions of dollars in it.
He'd be a billionaire today. I know the story you're talking about.
Yeah. So and he had like one more try before he got locked out, so he didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh,
so you were there, Dave.
Well, so if there's any silver lining, look, I put the money back into other investments that have made me money, so I'm okay. And I didn't sell it like 20 years ago. I sold it not too long ago, so I still did okay. But yeah, nothing. He has just beaten the S&P. Here's the best thing about this. If you had put $1 into Berkshire Hathaway when he bought it back in the early 60s, so 62 years ago, $100 $100 would be worth $37 million today.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's the most incredible stock performance in the history of modern finance.
What year was that?
1962 or 3 is like 62 years ago. $100, $37.5 million today.
Are there, you know, we talk about people who have made it big, who invented things and so forth. But it Are there average Joes out there who did nothing spectacular other than buying $100 of Berkshire Hathaway and not selling it?
You do have, I love these stories. It's like the Microsoft story where even the janitors were given stock when the company went public, and now they're multi-millionaires. Ugh. Yes, you have people. See, the thing about Berkshire Hathaway, if you look at it, it owns a lot of different companies. So you're kind of getting a mutual fund, if you will, by owning all the companies that Warren Buffett has bought over the past 60 years. So a lot of these employees of the companies that were purchased were given some Berkshire Hathaway stock. And I've read about some of these stories. Here's the little old lady who was a secretary who became a millionaire just because Warren Buffett decided to buy the company. Great American success stories.
So is it still true, because you were just talking about the generation of wealth that's going to be passed down, is it still true he's not giving his money to his kids when he dies?
Very little. That's the latest we've had. He's already given so much of it away to foundations that he's either part of or other foundations like Bill Gates Foundation. But that is true. He told his kids, you're going to have to make it on your own.
It's kind of, because it's not me, it's kind of awesome.
I'm already trying to get money for my parents.
Because it's not me. I think that is awesome. Now, for me, I'd be pissed.
Well, you know what? His last purchase, you need to convince him, come in and buy Odyssey and Camel X. Then you would get your Berkshire Hathaway stock.
He's not going to give me anything.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. My stomach hurts, Dave,
awesome.
Because of these stories and your story. And oh, my gosh.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm doing okay. It's one of those painful things. It's like, why did I?
See, yeah, I mean, like you said, you're doing okay. But see, 2 years ago, I bought a nice sweater. It was really expensive. It was $130. And I was just trying to feel good and wear a color that made me look nice. I think I was going through a hard time. Anyway, I bought the sweater. I get home. I hate the sweater. I hate it. But I don't return it in time. So now I've lost $130. I still think about that, Dave. And that's with a sweater. Can you imagine if I lost millions of dollars?
Or all the kids who put, you know, their rookie Topps baseball cards in the 50s and 60s on the spokes of their wheels that are now worth hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. I think most of us at some point have stories like that, yes.
Dave Simons, we appreciate it. We're going to talk to you next week.
Yep.
That sounds good. I look forward to it, as always.
Dave is the partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. So I think the lesson is never sell any stocks.
Never sell any stock.
Ever. That's not the lesson.
From one hard-hitting topic to another. Coming up next, do horses know they're racing each other?
That's next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sovereignty has taken the lead. Journalism is second toward the good side. Baez is third, but it will be Sovereignty to rule the Kentucky Derby.
Ran into Scott Jagow yesterday, and he said, it was Sovereignty. I knew it. That's the horse I wanted. I should have told you guys when I was talking to you Friday. It's
Did he
true.
Bet on him?
I think he may have spread a little on the ponies. That's from NBC. That was the Kentucky Derby, one of the most watched in like 30 years. It was a lots and lots of people tuned in to watch that Derby. And it's so funny that I forgot which one of you. So maybe it was Matt Pajeski. He sent this story to us from 2023, actually. And the headline of the story is, do racehorses even know they're racing each other? And it's funny because when we were talking to Scott, I was going to ask a question like that because I want to know. Because we talk about some of these people who are in the horse racing business, they talk about the horses like they are athletes and they like to compete. And my thought is like, wait, well, hold on. Do they know they're competing?
Horse even know it's in a race?
Yeah. But I think this is really interesting. Anyway, the bottom line here, at least according to the headline, do racehorses even know they're racing each other? It's unlikely.
I know.
But have you wondered that yourself?
Yes. Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, here the story continues several paragraphs down. Does a horse even know it's in a race? Again, the answer is likely no.
Well, okay.
Says horses like running in a group.
So remember when ESPN years ago did the greatest athletes of all time? They did the countdown and they ended up on Michael Jordan being number one. I don't remember which number it was.
I thought Secretariat won.
Secretariat didn't win. I think he was like number two or three.
Yeah. It was something offensive.
Yeah. But they put Secretariat on that list. And can't you only be an athlete if you are aware that you are competing?
I think so, because otherwise, guess what would beat Secretariat? A bear in the wild or a lion?
Well, I don't think the bear could outrun him.
No, but he could bite his bottom, his rump, you know, and drag him down like in the nature
show.
Okay,
that's like saying a wrestler could beat up a guy on the track.
Well, they don't know they're competing. What's the difference? And that's the thing. Like, well, the horses don't know they're running. Then why don't we get cheetahs? Because cheetahs are faster than Secretariat. Cheetahs can hit 80 miles an hour.
Because you can't ride a cheetah.
Cheetahs can, you don't have to ride it.
Well, you have to, somebody has to be on the horse to keep it in line, which I guess by definition means it doesn't know it's in a competition. Otherwise, you wouldn't need a jockey.
Well, because the jockey, it apparently can teach the horse to ignore its tendencies, because sometimes a horse will synchronize with other horses because they like running in a group. So that's why they wear blinders, and that's why the jockeys whip them, which I don't like. My mom has a hard time with that.
Well, nobody likes to watch the horse get whipped.
Well, I know, and that's why my mom is
but
like,
I don't think it's painful for the horse because their skin and their fur, they're just so
this
thick.
This is so much speculation right now.
Yeah, so what? I don't care.
If it's not painful, then why do they do it?
Because it's probably startling. But if you got hit by that little stupid...
It would hurt.
Little tiny whip thing that they have, the little stick with the leather thing at the end.
Yeah.
It would hurt you, but your skin is not as tough as a horse's skin.
It's not.
So
it's called a crop.
It's called a crop?
Yeah.
Well, this is a bunch of crop. This whole conversation.
Secretariat's- So it says that the crops are used to direct the horse to travel much closer to other horses, risking sometimes fatal injuries. And it also encourages the horse to travel at speeds not of the horse's choosing.
Okay,
That's
there you go.
Terrible.
There you go.
That's terrible.
So the horse does not know it's competing. Otherwise, it would run as fast as it could to win. There you go. So the answer has been answered.
And it says horses most likely have no concept of being in the race.
See?
That's terrible.
Do you think they even like it? Do you think they like what they're doing? The horses?
I don't think so. I think they're just trying, like Jerry Seinfeld, oat bag, where's my oat bag? That's what they're thinking.
I'm hungry. That's Amy Marks Course. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, our guy from Y98, Alex Rich, he is going to be singing the national anthem at the City SC game tomorrow. They're playing tomorrow. And of course, that we have that game on KMOX. We have a City SC game tomorrow. Also, he's the host of the Jews in the Lou podcast.
That's an awesome podcast.
It is with Ben Peremba. Alex Rich joins us next.
So we keep waiting, waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting, waiting on the world to change. Cause if we had the power to bring our neighbors home from a war, we'd never miss a Christmas. No more ribbons on the door, yeah.
It's Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM, KMOX, and from our sister station down the hallway, Y98, we have Alex Rich joining us in studio right now. Alex is, he's got the national anthem tomorrow at the City SC game at Energizer Park. Also, he's the co-host with Ben Peremba of the podcast Jews in the Lou.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. I just said it smells great in here. The Camo X, the whole vibe's different over here. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, once we went to FM, things really freshened up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it naturally freshened up.
Yeah, it used to stink in here.
Yeah.
And then they added the FM dial. They're like, it smells great now.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll say this about Alex Rich. He knows everybody. Like, you do everything and know everybody.
Yeah, when people ask what I do, there's really, there's not one answer.
Yeah.
You know, that was some intro, too. I appreciate it. I don't even know where you found that audio, but, you know.
Dark web, great
work.
Was it dark web?
It's from the archives.
No, the archives.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I just, you know, I do a handful of different things. I've never really put myself into one box, per se, you know, and, you know, kind of always keep the door open to see what's next.
So what's next for you is the national anthem.
What's next?
How'd that happen?
The national anthem. Can you believe it? I'm nervous as can be.
The hardest song to sing in the entire world.
That's what people say. And I think it's the hardest song in the world to sing if you don't sing it, like, make it your own. Not make it your own in the way that, like, what's her name? Ingrid, whatever, did at the All-Star game, right? Like, I don't want to check myself into rehab the next day.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she
you
did.
Know,
but she did.
She did.
A
she
girl
really did.
Sang, a girl, a woman sang the national anthem, a famous.
It was the MLB All-Star game last year.
And she was so, I guess, messed up that she did go to rehab the
next
day.
Yeah, it was rough. No, you know, you can't really. Look, I'm not a person that's, I always say I'm not a great singer alone and I'm not a great guitar player alone. But when you put them together, there's, you know, a handful of people that can do it, I guess. You know, I got my cousin that plays around. Pajeski here is a great guitar player.
He's
you know,
really good.
He rocks out. Now, I don't know if, you know, can you sing and play at the same time? I don't know.
No, I can't do that.
See, so
he can barely talk.
But the guy can play. So, you know, for me, it's just like when you put it together, it's... that was like my stipulation. I'm singing it with my guitar.
Yeah. So, are you going to do the Whitney Houston version, obviously?
No, don't do that. He can't. Yeah. He can't hit that note.
No, and they limit me to a minute 30 seconds.
Okay. So did you make your own arrangement?
They do?
It's a quick one, dude. It's a quick one.
That I love that they do that.
Yeah, it says 90-second performance.
One of the things that does bother me about the national anthem performance.
So if you want to know the over-under.
Is like when people drag it out and they do the whole just sing the anthem.
They have money on the line.
You know what I would do?
In the Super Bowl,
I would surprise people with the pacing. Like it's 90 seconds, but I think you should sing the first half really fast and slow it way down for the second half.
I do have some variations in there. But yeah, you ask, I did kind of like do my own rendition of it. But I'm not trying to hit any of these crazy high notes. I got it in a different key that's good for me.
Yeah.
I will say the one thing I am a little nervous about is I don't know about the echo in the stadium. I'm a little worried about the echo.
They'll mess you up big time, right?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the echo. I don't know if I'm going to have in-ears. I don't know if I'm going to have a monitor. I don't know what I'm going to be hearing. But, you know, there's really, it's out of my control. Control the controllables is what I say.
Can you talk to anyone who's done it before there?
You know, I don't know anybody personally that's done it, right?
Do we know anybody
personally that's done it? The blues guy,
The blues guys, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know personally anybody that's
different.
I think they usually have like real actual qualifications to do it. So I'm like the first person they've brought in off the street to
Will this be the largest crowd?
This will be the largest crowd that's actively listening and watching me. I mean, that seats 22,000 people. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm a little nervous about, right? And it's because it's like not really a song by choice that I'd like love to perform.
How you know, much? It's very hard to sing.
I think
it is a hard
Alex,
song to sing.
Having heard your music, I bet you would crush "O Canada."
You think?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that song!
That song's
just
a banger.
Oh, it.
People say
it
that one is
so
way
hard.
Better than the than ours.
It's true.
You think?
I look.
Ours is just very.
God
difficult
bless America.
To sing.
I love us. We're great, right? That national anthem. Oh my God, does it slap?
Does
it's
Canada
so
have a soccer team? I don't know if they. Well,
yeah, they got a soccer team.
Do they? Do they? Are they in the MLS?
Yeah, Vancouver Whitecaps.
They're, okay,
yeah.
So okay,
there's
well,
a Toronto team too. Right?
I guess the petition is, you know, if City wins tomorrow night with me singing the anthem. These guys are very, very, you know, they're all about the superstition.
Yeah.
So if they win.
You get to sing again.
Lord knows they might have me back, you know, week what? After week.
That
you know,
is absolutely
what if
true.
You sing the Canadian national anthem even without a Canadian team playing?
What if I just, instead of singing the actual national anthem, just went out tomorrow and surprised everybody and just went right into the Canadian okay, national anthem?
Or you could be like, I know I'm here to sing the national anthem, but I'm going to play an original.
And you know what I mean? You should start with O Canada.
I wrote a song for St. Louis City. Here it is.
And watch all the St. Louisans look at each other and go, is Omaha in Canada? Because
yeah.
Nobody knows where Omaha is.
Right. Yeah. Nobody cares.
Omaha kind of sounds like it could be
anywhere.
In Ontario. Omaha, Ontario.
It actually could be anywhere in the world and it would make sense.
Yeah.
We should start telling people it is. Tomorrow, I'm going to start it.
I owe Ranj $4, but I will give you that $4 if you start with the Canadian national anthem.
Wouldn't that
anthem.
Be something?
You can give him my $4 if he does it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's worth more than $4.
No,
I think that video would take off
would
quickly
happen?
Online.
What do you think? You'd get arrested? What do you think would
I
happen?
I think you might get arrested
He's
afterwards.
He's not going to get arrested for that.
Well, I mean, is it against the law to kind of butcher
no.
the national anthem?
No.
You know?
No. I think it's against the law to
it could be.
Mock it and start.
Yeah,
not, I don't
you're
know.
Not mocking it.
You're not mocking. Well, maybe, I mean, you can burn a flag.
You're like, don't burn the flag at the City game tomorrow.
No. I think that's legal.
Well, unless
I
just it's an Omaha
be-
flag. Omaha, Canada flag.
Okay, he brings out his guitar and then he's got a little bag
that's
with him and he gets out
meant.
A flag
I
and a lighter.
Like First Amendment
oh my
rights. That you
got a protester
they,
doing
they
the national
kick,
anthem.
They could kick you out, but I don't think you could go to jail. But I do think you would probably be banned from Energizer Park.
Well, since
for life.
The City games are broadcast on Y98, it's probably not a great association for me to personally have. But, you know, I will say the whole thing is quite surprising. Not necessarily surprising, but I think, you know, flattering and humbling
yeah.
in a way that they're like, they trust me to do it.
Well, it's
I mean,
awesome.
I trust you.
I mean, Alex, it's awesome. You're going to be playing not just in front of 22,000 people, but that park is sick.
It's sick.
Energizer
I am
park
super excited about it, but I would be lying if I said I was not nervous. Like, I am super, super nervous about the whole thing because, you know,
well,
all those people are there watching.
Are you wearing a City jersey or what
oh,
are you
that was
wear?
The other thing. They were very specific on what I can and cannot wear.
Really?
So literally the form said no Nikes because MLS is Adidas.
Oh,
so I can't wear,
wow.
you know, I got my flashy J's all the time
oh, you
that
can't
I'm wearing.
Wear that.
I can't wear them. So
do you have any
can you
Adidas?
Explain to the KMOX audience what a flashy J is?
A flashy J.
Oh, the
we're
J
not
ones?
Talking about we're not talking about the cannabis J. We're talking
oh.
about the
J one,
the Jordan ones,
yeah.
the Jordans,
oh, the,
the high top Jordans.
Those look good.
Yeah, I rocked them quite
so
often.
So they said no Nike.
No Nike. So I went and bought myself a fresh new pair of white On Clouds. They're great. You're a runner. You know the On Clouds are great, but. Adidas.
I wear Nike.
Adidas. Adidas isn't really necessarily my style. They said no sponsors, no no flashy, you know, crazy anything. They said no Cardinal jersey, no Blues jersey.
Really?
No,
there's a rivalry.
No
now.
Battle Hawks jersey.
No Battle Hawks.
So they really the easiest way to get to it, they could have just said, you know, must wear a City jersey.
Do
a
most,
City kit.
Do most of
bad.
Them wear a kit?
I think so.
Can you wear the whole thing
hoping.
With shin pants?
Could you wear, like, if you wanted to wear the high socks and shin guards?
Can you? I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. If somebody from City is listening and they get me the whole getup, I would do it. Well,
you would come out there in the entire
Shorts.
Kit.
I'd maybe
socks.
Even throw on the shin guards. Yeah.
That's what I said. You would do
I mean.
The shin guards.
Maybe. Yeah. If there was a personalized jersey. Now, that's what I was hoping for. Like, At least throw me a personalized jersey or something. Yeah. I think that'd be like,
I don't know if they have any because
I think they're stingy. Tell
them
what
stingy.
Happened to
us. When we were when the team came into town for the, you know, their very right before their first game, our boss brought in a couple of jerseys into the studio to Amy and me and said, "Hey, try these on." And we did, and then he goes, "All right, I need them back. I got to take them down the hall."
Dude,
like, what the hell? What
are we just? He did passing? The same thing to me. He said, "Hey, if you don't mind, take a picture with this and then pass it to the next person."
Can you believe this?
I'm like, what are we? What world are we living in?
There should be city jerseys laying over chairs in this office.
It seems like it.
This
really
is some communism nonsense. Well, I think you should wear the entire kit with the shin pads.
Now we're on to something.
And I start with Okie.
You know, that might distract people enough so much that they don't even listen to me sing the national anthem, which is maybe ideal. But, you know.
No, I want to listen to it.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
You want to tell us about the podcast? How's it going? Jews in the Lou with Ben Paremba.
It's great. Ben's a great guy. Ben owns a lot of local restaurants here
like
in St. Louis.
A
lot of them. He's owned a lot. He's closed a lot. He's opened a lot. He'll tell you that himself. But Jews in the Lou, it's great. We kind of came together. We actually met, you know, just about a year ago and wanted to do something fun around the Hanukkah time of the year where it was different, a different way to celebrate and really draw some attention on the good light that there is with the Jewish folks in St. Louis that are making a difference here in town. And so we got together and we said, let's do a little like conversation. So we meet at the Deli Divine and it's
always there, right?
Well, except for the one we just did with R&R Ranch, we felt like the miniature horses felt that felt deserving of us to be on site for them. Yeah. I don't know that the deli, we can't bring the horses into the deli, but
can't bring Tubby into the deli.
No, but it's been cool. It's, you know, we sit down, have a little bit of a conversation with different people, and it's totally unscripted. Like, we, you know, the cameras roll. We don't even tell the guest when we're going, and we just get into conversation and start chatting, and you really learn some cool stories about the people that make a difference, you know, or people that have converted to Judaism, like Tamara from Clementines. She talks about her story. How she converted, what Judaism means to her. And really, you learn a lot of unique stories about why people started what they're doing. So like the R&R Ranch folks, Stacy's whole story was it was built off of the Jewish principles of just having each other's back and sticking together. Because, I mean, the reality is like, and it's hard for people that don't necessarily, that aren't Jewish and can't really fully understand, but if you're part of like a certain community, you get it. There, it's just a culture around you where you just automatically have each other's backs. And I think that's the platform we want to create. It's not at all a political platform where we want to express political opinions or anything like that, but more of just the conversation of the backstory of, you know, how these people were raised, their stories growing up. And it's cool because, you know, in the Jewish religion, there's not really one specific, I know in a lot of religions, there's not really one specific path, but, you know, there's so many different types of Jewish people. You got your Orthodox, Reform, you know, conservative. But I think as a whole, it all boils back down to the culture. And so we've brought this to camera and video and YouTube and Instagram and, you know, the response has been great. We've had, you know, of course, in doing what we're doing in the state that we're in, we've had some hate and some lashback and things like that. And that's why I like to say, look, it's I'm not a person that's going to be out here talking politics one way or the other when it comes to religion or actual politics, whatever. But it's more, hey, this is something we just want to do to showcase our religion because it's important to us. And it's really been great. And Ben and I have this, you know, kind of an older, younger brother duo thing kind of going in it. And it works well. The guests have a great time. You asked what the qualifications were, you know, to be on Jews in the Lou. Really, if you're Jewish and you're, I guess, making a difference or really what we like to say is a mover and shaker in St. Louis, you know, or doing something impactful.
I am at least 6% Jewish. Do I count?
We're not that far down the list yet. Okay. We're not struggling.
They're not scraping the bottom of the barrel, Ron.
Let me know when you're looking for a little Jewish blood.
The same pitch for me. He's like, dude, I'm 3% Jewish. I did the whole 23andMe, and I'm like, dude, we don't, even if you were full Jewish, we wouldn't want him. But, you know what I mean?
Guys, I'll do it for you. No, Mark, we're good.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. People have reached out. I mean, a lot of people have reached out to be a part of this because I think it's cool. You just hear so many different stories. We've had, Josh Schertz, SLU's basketball coach.
Oh, yeah.
He is Jewish. A lot of people didn't know that. And, you know, typically Jewish people aren't the tallest people. So basketball is not really where we hang out a lot.
Every single one of his players is taller than him.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
We've had, Scott Rosenblum, defense attorney here in St. Louis. We had him on. We've had Tamara Keefe from Clementine's. We're all over the board. Ben Hockman actually came on.
Yeah.
Ben's a great guy. And
he's got his own sandwich at Pratzel's.
He does have his own sandwich at Pratzel's.
Like
so
the highest.
When we had him in, he was kind of propositioning for a sandwich at Deli Divine. So, you know,
you can't have a sandwich at two places.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Do you think you draw the line?
Yeah. You got to pick your place.
Yeah, you can't. Menus are not unlimited. There's a finite amount of sandwiches you can have.
Do you have a sandwich? I'm working on a sandwich. I did have a sandwich with High Point last year. It was called the Checking In Chicken Melt because I'm always checking in.
You checked in here.
Yeah,
you do. You're like, I'm here. I'm checking in.
Yeah, it was like a fried chicken with some bacon, some Swiss, some coleslaw. It was delicious. I mean, I'm telling you, when you could build a sandwich, it's a lot of pressure. What would you guys have on your own sandwiches?
I didn't think about it.
It takes time.
I'd have to think about it.
Amy's got a sandwich on mine.
Mine would be like turkey based for sure.
Honestly.
Like it'd be like turkey and pickles and cucumber. It would be like all the condiments.
Every
condiment that exists on top of turkey, which is a pretty neutral base.
I feel like turkey is a very neutral base. Because even if you kind of don't eat meat, some of those times that you kind of eat meat, you maybe eat turkey.
Don't like turkey sandwiches.
What?
Tell you what, I would have pastrami on mine.
Pastrami's great.
But that's less neutral than
turkey.
Let me
tell you, Jews in the Lou, we love pastrami sandwich.
Dude, maybe I'm more than 6%.
You know what? We'll just have you in. We'll just have you in to watch Jews in the Lou.
Okay, I'll come in.
That's fair.
All right.
Huh?
Alex
the
Rich.
The Gentile audience.
I don't think I'm supposed to say good luck. I'm supposed to tell you to hurt yourself or something.
Break a
right?
leg or whatever.
Yeah, I hope you trip on the way out.
6:55, the national anthem goes down tomorrow night.
Alex Rich will have it on the field before the City SC game against Omaha.
I'll be in full kit.
You promised. You promised. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark scores. Hey, do we have time for the egg beat?
Oh, we're doing the egg beat.
Yeah. So, bad news. Backyard poultry is linked to salmonella outbreak in 6 states, according to the CDC. It's triggered a salmonella outbreak in states like Missouri, Illinois, and others. Of course, the symptoms of salmonella poisoning, I guess you would call it, like diarrhea, vomiting, sickness. And I was like, what do you mean backyard poultry? I thought maybe that was the brand. No, it's people who have chickens in their backyards. Apparently, as chicken rentals rise in popularity, as egg prices soar, there are couples and people who are renting out chickens. You can rent a chicken.
Why do you want to rent a chicken?
Well, because eggs are expensive. It's rentthechicken.com.
It's more expensive to rent the chicken. I guarantee you, in the end, it's more expensive to rent a chicken than to buy the eggs.
It's $545 to rent 2 chickens for 7 months.
See? Are people spending $500 and almost $600 in 5 months on eggs?
I think families with teenage boys are, probably.
Do the chickens produce enough for that? It's like one egg a day, isn't it?
I don't know. How many eggs does
I don't...
Because if you have to get a multiple... Because one egg a day is not going to be enough.
It seems like a giant waste of money.
Well, now people have salmonella.
Well, we have coming up here, and we appreciate you listening into the show today, and you can always check in with us whenever you want at 314-436-7900. A new book is out. It's called Play Harder, The Triumph of Black Baseball in America, and We have a professor of African and African American studies at Wash U joining us. He's the author of the book, Gerald Early, next on KMOX.